Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through verse 34. This is the reading of God's Word. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray for it. Father, we pray that you would bless the preaching of your word. Bless your people who are hearing your word. Bless the person who is preaching. We pray that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly and understood by your people correctly. It will cause the growth of our faith. And with that growing faith, let us witness Jesus Christ and the reality of heaven that he has accomplished already for us. Oh Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 25 begins with, for this reason. And that points back to what we have looked at last Lord's Day. No, it wasn't last Lord's Day, because last Lord's Day was Lord's Supper, so a week before that. Verse 19 through 24. For this reason, because we are not to store up for ourselves treasures on earth, but store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Because we are to have our eyes focused on Christ and his kingdom. Because we cannot serve two masters, God and wealth, at the same time, but we must serve God and him alone. For this reason, verse 25, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink. Nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Jesus says, do not be worried. And I want you to notice that it is a command. Jesus here is not promising to you, he's not promising a worry-free life. But it is a command. Don't worry. Worrying. Why we worry? And we have seen this before. We worry because we store up for ourselves treasures on earth. Verse 19b, on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. The worldly treasures store up on earth always bring worry. But heavenly treasures are indeed worry-free. Verse 20b, in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, to obtain an inheritance, heavenly inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. The end has already come. The last days are here. The time in which storing up treasures on earth is foolish is here. If this is truly last days, then storing up treasures on earth is foolishness. Because God is coming. He has already come. The kingdom of God has already come. And we are to store up treasures in that place. And we saw how we are to do that last time we looked at this. Romans chapter 14 verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 12 verse 15 in NIV, then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Your life and my life is not about abundance of possessions in this world. Our purpose in our lives is not gathering more and more earthly things. It is not about a bigger house and bigger cars or better cars. You hear this, right? One with the most toys win. That is the world. That is not you. That is not the life of the citizens of heaven. Do not worry, our Lord says, a command, not an option. And how are we to obey this? By storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven. By having our eyes focused on Christ and His kingdom. By serving God and Him alone. There is no way for us to obey this when we store up ourselves treasures on earth. And now our Lord explains to us why we don't have to worry, why we must not worry. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, but yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more than they? He says it so clearly, it just does not need an explanation. Luke chapter 12, verse 6 through 7, are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. You and I, we serve the mighty God. All-knowing and all-powerful God, and He controls the whole universe. And we must believe Him and completely trust Him. Verse 27, and who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? Being worried accomplishes nothing, absolutely nothing. Actually, worrying is a poison to Christian life. Because worrying is what the non-Christians do. Mark chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. The others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. You understand that passage there? It's about the parable of sower. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word. They heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Of course, this is description of non-Christians. But see, as Christians, we cannot live like non-Christians. The worries of the world will choke the word that you hear. Verses 28 and 29, and why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. Again, he says it so clearly. You have no problem understanding what he's saying. Verse 30, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Worrying about the things of this world, worrying about what to eat, what to drink, and what to wear is acts of little faith. You must trust God. These people live their lives as if God cannot take care of them, as if God is not in control over their life, over them. Life full of worries is equal to life centered on this world, and that is equal to life of greed. But faith witnesses the reality of heaven. Heaven is a place where there is no worry. And you and I, who have been saved out of the world and delivered into that place already spiritually, we must witness that heaven has already come. That kingdom of God, the place where there is no worry, if that has come, you must witness that reality by not worrying. Because you and I, we are already citizens of that place. We must witness the reality of heaven that our Lord has already accomplished for us. Verse 31 and 32, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Before, our Lord made a distinction between men and the birds of the air. But here, he makes a distinction within men. There are two groups or two kinds of men. The citizens of heaven and the citizens of this world, God's children and Satan's children, believers and non-believers, and worrying about the things of this world that is done by the citizens of this world, that is done by Gentiles. But you have been saved out of this world by our Lord Jesus Christ. So understand what has happened to you already. Even as we sit here in this room, understand where we have come. Spiritually, you are already in the presence of God. That is why you cannot want what they want, the world wants. You cannot desire what they want or they desire. Our purpose is not to live well and live healthy in this world. That is not our purpose. Being rich and being healthy is common grace. It's not distinctively Christian. That is not our purpose. To worry about what to eat and what to drink and what to wear is to disbelieve our God. We have been saved out of this world and delivered into worry-free world of heaven. Thus, verse 33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Believe Him when He says that. Truly believe Him. Don't be like this. People of little faith. Or worse, don't be like the Gentiles. His kingdom and His righteousness. His kingdom, heaven, His righteousness, the life of heaven. You seek that glorious place and the life that you have in that place in Jesus Christ. The righteous life that our Lord Jesus Christ has lived for us already. His righteousness. Jesus' righteousness. Thus we are seeking Jesus Christ and His kingdom. That's what we do. We seek our Lord and His kingdom. His life. And His kingdom. Seek first, it says. It is not saying that you are to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, then seek second the things of this world. That is not what it says, right? Some of will say, oh yes, I agree with you, Young. Yeah, we are to seek His kingdom and His righteousness first. Yes, yes. And I did that. So now let me seek this world. No, that is not what our Lord is teaching here. The first here is not in terms of time. It's all about what are we to seek primarily. What is the most important? What is that thing that we must, that must be the center of our lives? His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you. You are not to seek for those. That is what the Gentiles eagerly seek. We pray. We studied Lord's Prayer before, right? We pray for daily bread and just stop worrying. And that daily bread is already given to us. Do not worry about them at all. And all these things will be added to you. Remember, we are not seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness just to have all these things to be added to us. That's not the purpose. We are not seeking first His righteousness and His kingdom just to have all these things. Do you remember what He said before? Store up treasures in heaven. We must have our eyes focused on Christ and His kingdom, and we must serve God and Him alone. This verse is not for you to just memorize, so when you are worrying, you recite this verse over and over again and say to yourself, yes, that is right, I should not worry, let's not worry. That is not the purpose of this verse. Like a magical verse that you just memorize. We must believe and trust God. We must believe who He is and what kind of God He is. And we must know and believe what kind of salvation we possess and what kind of heavenly blessings that we already have in Jesus Christ. Our not worrying must flow out from our faith, our belief in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just telling you, let's not worry. That worrying, not worrying, must come from your faith in Christ. Your understanding and your belief of who He is and what He has done and what kind of God He is. We are to live by faith, brothers and sisters. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. All has been given to us already. 1 Corinthians 3, 21, for all things belong to you. Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? He gave His only begotten Son. Why would He hold other things from you if that is what He did? But when we look at our lives, it is so clear that He didn't give us much in terms of this world. Well, let us go there and read the rest of that section. Romans 8. Romans 8. We just read verse 32. See, a lot of people, they look at their earthly life and they say, God did not give me that much. And it's true that He did. Because as when it comes to common grace, non-Christians, they have it more. So sometimes people wonder, what's going on? Doesn't God love me anymore? And that's the point that Paul is making. If God gave you His Son, why would He withhold other things from you? So when you feel like, you know, when you go through all these sufferings and difficult times and you wonder, does God love me still? Then you come to this chapter and verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? What he's saying is, you're going to have all these things in your life. You're going to have all these things in your life, but that doesn't mean that God is not loving you anymore. Because even those things cannot separate us from the love of God that He has in Jesus Christ. Just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. This is your life. Just the very life that Jesus Christ lived, God is calling you to live that very same life. That's why Paul says, for I am convinced, verse 38, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, we might not have much when it comes to things of this world, but even that is blessing, because His purpose for you is for you to be like His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. Everything that happens, verse 28, oh yeah, people read, you know, this is another of those verses that they just memorize and they use it in a wrong way. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. This God causes all things to work together for good. What is that about? If you go down, verse 30, and these whom He predestined, He also called, and these whom He called, He also justified, and these whom He justified, He also glorified. But one verse right before that says, for whom those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He will be the firstborn among many brethren. God causes all these things to work together for one purpose, so that you will be like Christ. And He did not have much of things of this world. God knows what He's doing in your life. Don't worry. The worst thing that could happen to you is you die. But even that is gain. No, not just this is not just, you know, good saying that we're talking about. This is our reality. This is who we are right now in Jesus Christ. This is the kind of people that God made us already. You don't have satisfaction because your eyes are focused on the things of this world. And you will never have satisfaction if that is the case. Why? What causes us not to worry is to understand what has already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. And understanding what kind of God that we serve. Verse 34, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. He's not saying don't plan for tomorrow. Of course we need to plan. But but it's about worrying about tomorrow that he says not to do. See, he says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Our Lord never promises trouble-free tomorrow here on earth. Period. Don't even expect it. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Glorious life that he calls us to live. To remind us that this world is not our eternal home. That we will never find the true rest in this world. As you go through sufferings and difficult times, this troubled life, it will remind you that you do not belong here. That the rest, the eternal rest that God has accomplished, you will not find here. John chapter 16 verse 33, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world. Acts 14 verse 22b, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. But even those sufferings and trials and tribulation, James chapter 1 verse 2 to 4 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12 and 13, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. Each day has enough trouble, just as much as needed. For you. See, brothers and sisters, we live by faith, not by sight. We live trusting our God. We entrust all things to our God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Brothers and sisters, you are invited to a blessed life, abundant life of heaven, worry-free life forever and ever, the very life of our Lord Jesus Christ, the life that seeks the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, life that seeks the kingdom of God, heaven, the life that seeks Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, truly, you live blessed life. Indeed. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have saved us from this world, that we do not belong here anymore. but you cause us to look to your eternal home, our eternal home, and how we are already the citizens of that glorious place. But we are still here on earth. But we thank you that you give understanding that this life is like a training, if you will. That we're becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. We're becoming that perfect person that perfectly fit heaven. And let us understand that you care for us. You already know what we need. And your purpose for us is for us to be like your Son more and more. So let us not worry. Let us trust you. Bless us with this faith. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.